wagon, where they camped on the flats for the night. With the moon shining dim o'er the old canyon rim, they watched for that brown mountain light.
You are listening right now to a song called Brown Mountain Light, a classic from the Country Gentleman, and that's the way we open up this week's Friday Feature Interview of the Week. Paul Foster for WNCW. There is a book out called The Brown Mountain Lights, History, Science, and Human Nature, Explain an Appalachian Mystery. Now, that's published by McFarland Books of North Wilkesboro, and we just so happen to have the book's author join us in studio to talk about his book this morning, and that is Marion's own Ed Spear. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Thank you so much for being with us today. First of all, before we get to the very fascinating book, we'll let you tell our audience a little bit about yourself, some background, and what led you to this book project.
I grew up in McDowell County, and as a young kid, I heard the stories about the Brown Mountain Lights and was fascinated by what might be causing the lights. But after high school, I left home and took off and followed a education and career in geology. And I actually ended up working all over the world in a lot of exciting geology exploration projects looking for ore deposits, which took me to some of the most fascinating places in the U.S. and around the world. But I'm retired now, and I came back home and picked up my interest in the Brown Mountain Lights.
Well, we're so glad you came back home to Western North Carolina. You were mentioning to me off the air just a moment ago that with your geology background that you'd also written some books in that area of study.
Most professional geologists end up writing a few things, a number of scientific journals about geology and some of the unique places that I've worked.
Well, Ed, many of us in or near the North Carolina mountains in particular, maybe we think about the Pisgah Forest and Table Rock, to be exact, have either heard about or maybe even we've been fortunate enough to get a glimpse of what we thought might have been the Brown Mountain Lights and the mystery. So if you would take us back over the history, the legacy about these Brown Mountain Lights.
All right. Our team did a lot of research. We had 10 to 20 people, local residents who volunteered over about a 3-year period to investigate the Brown Mountain Lights. So we had professionals, we had scientists, we had local adventurers and outdoors people. And what we came up with was actually quite a shock to us. We found that people report seeing all kinds of lights. Some people see distant lights. Some people see lights up close. Some people see lights just as a flash of light. Other people see lights that are lasting all night long. So we did a very thorough investigation of these lights. And we found that unfortunately, most people are just misidentifying man-made lights. And even some natural lights. So there are a few very unusual and unexpected natural lights as well. And these are all detailed in the book. The legend itself, though, started a little over 100 years ago. It doesn't come from early man or the early pioneers. It specifically started in the 10 to 15 years following the arrival of man-made electricity in Western North Carolina, which happened in Hickory. So the people up in the mountains looking out over Brown Mountain, looking toward Hickory, they saw these man-made lights. And that really concerned the local residents, and that was actually the beginnings of the legend of the Brown Mountain Lights.
Yeah. I know I have read and heard everything over the years of people thinking, especially way back in the day, that maybe there was a UFO or an alien that had actually landed up in those mountains somewhere, or that someone was either trying to build a spacecraft. I mean, we've heard it all, haven't we?
Yes. There are so many stories. And I cover most of those in the book. I call them campfire stories because they're all just anecdotal stories with little to no objective data to back them up.
Now, you actually, of course, took part with your background in this, and you already mentioned it, with the group of geologists that spent time over those 3 years researching the Brown Mountain Lights. Was there anything in this process of what you knew going in to what you found out coming out? I mean, you said you were surprised, but maybe an example of two or of something that really stayed with you in this research for the book.
Yeah, there was one light that really surprised me. I was actually hiking on Brown Mountain one night in 2014 with a flashlight so that our nighttime cameras could pick up my light. And suddenly, an airplane flew over, and it was only 100 feet above the treetops. And this is nighttime, and this was quite shocking. However, the plane, it was easily identified as a twin-engine plane that I'm actually familiar with. And so we were later able to run down what that plane was. And it turns out it was a night-training military aircraft where the pilots are wearing night vision goggles, and they're doing low-level mountainous flight training. So this plane and its lights showed up on our cameras. If I had not been there that night, that light would have been a mystery that we would not have been able to solve.
And there you go, another light added to the long list. That's quite interesting. What is maybe an example that stands out, if it goes back decades or more recently, to anything that you've heard from locals or people traveling through the area, of an example of the lights? And was it scary to them, or the mystery behind it?
Yeah, most people are frightened of the light they see. It does create fear in people, and that's the reason they remember their experience. And some people have essentially life-changing experiences because they're so frightened by an unexpected light that they see at night, maybe an unexpected location, or the light is doing unexpected things. A local resident wrote a book in the mid-60s about some experiences he had on Brown Mountain. And he kept going back every week to see these lights over again. And this was close encounters with lights. And it's pretty clear today that his experience was he was seeing the blue ghost fireflies, which are present, but they're very unexpected and rare. Not many people know about them. They do... They shine at night, and they don't blink. They keep their light on continuously. So that shocks a lot of people. And Mr. Ralph Lael wrote his book in the mid-60s about his experiences with what he thought were aliens from Venus.
Quickly tell us, before we run out of time, I understand there's like two main locations, overlooked and so forth, where someone could go up and actually take a look at the area where the lights may appear.
There's an overlook on Highway 180. It's called the Brown Mountain Overlook, and there's a plaque there, and it overlooks Brown Mountain itself, so it's right off the highway, paved highway, so a lot of people stop there to view the lights. And then there's Wiseman's View on the west side of Linville Gorge, which is accessed by a six-mile-long gravel road, but that's also another great place that overlooks Brown Mountain.
The book is called The Brown Mountain Lights, History, Science, and Human Nature, Explained: An Appalachian Mystery, by author Ed Speer. Ed, if someone wanted to learn more about the book or how they could get a copy, how could they do so?
The best way to do it would be to go online and just search for Brown Mountain Lights, maybe with my last name, Speer, S-P-E-E-R. That'll bring up lots of links to all of the major booksellers who are selling online.
Fascinating. Ed, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Paul.